Welcome to the Penny Arcade Staff Podcast, and today we have with us...
Kigo.
Dave.
Think about it.
Gop.
Dave.
Stop.
And today, we're talking about butt sticks.
Talking about butt sticks.
First off, we need to explain what a butt stick is to the people.
It's like a monopod that you sit on.
Sounds really comfortable.
We got a round of standing desks at the office, and Robert, for some reason, tried out this contraption that looks atrocious while you're using it and while you're not using it.
It looks like a unicycle without a wheel.
Yeah, it's a unicycle without a wheel. It's a pogo stick without anything.
Without kind of pogo. It's just a stick.
Has a seat on the top, and then it just is a little monopod that you lean on, and it works your legs a little bit without tiring you out. That's the goal.
Yeah, I
mean, you're not really sitting. You're leaning.
Resting your legs a little bit, but
they're not shortening your hip.
The point is, it's easy to just get up and move around, right? But it's also portable. You can pack it up and take it wherever. So if I want to go out, to a picnic and sit on my butt stick.
Yeah, or you want to be like at a concert and you're like, there's too much time between bands.
That's true. I would use that
bring a butt stick.
You wouldn't look stupid.
You'd look really dumb.
You wouldn't get beat up.
So your butt stick
is going to get up and beat the crap out of you with it.
The seat is formed around the buttocks, so when you're sitting on it, you can't see the seat. So it just like there's a pole sticking out of your ass.
Yeah, now, was it like a mouth guard when you bought it? You have to do like a mold of your ass and then put that in the microwave so that you could get it perfect?
It'd probably be more comfortable.
Dave,
you
have
that.
A piece of foam like permanently attached to your situation.
Well, Dave doesn't use it right.
That's not true. I totally do.
Dave is like sitting on it, which you're not supposed to do.
Yeah, you're just supposed to.
And it gets painful when you don't use it right. You need to lean.
Okay.
Otherwise, your butt starts hurting.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you're falling backward, but this stick is propping you up.
Yeah, it's a little
you're not really
weird
sitting
feeling
on it.
Put it on the.
So then my question
Instagram.
Is you says it, you said it's convenient, but the problem is when you get up from a chair, the chair is fine.
The chair doesn't fall
I
over.
I just go like this though.
Yeah, and then you drop it on the ground,
or I can just lean it up anywhere.
That sounds like light. That sounds really
I can
inconvenient.
Drop it on the ground. Fine. Made of metal.
Now you got to bend over to pick it up.
Oh, I'm my back.
My back, you know? I'm exercise.
I just stand at my standing desk.
It's all about exercise.
I just sit in my chair.
I stand most of the time, but I'm like, eh.
My new chair that
I'm standing. Just leaning too much. I need to sit down a little bit, you know?
Kiko and I have cool chairs now that look like race cars.
Yeah, you need to make sure that those go back to PAX.
Robert told us that we could have them.
We can have
what?
Them until...
Robert was not supposed to say that.
Until PAX West.
Until PAX West.
Yes. Fine. Then the arena will take them back.
Then you can fetch them from
But they
offices.
Helped me put
no,
over.
That's not the way this is going to work. I'm not going to scour the office looking for these goddamn things.
Well, a lot of them are just right there in the lobby.
Yeah.
Seems like they've made a permanent part of the office here.
You could race them.
Some of them were scratched a little bit. I mean, you wouldn't want to use those again.
This portion of the podcast brought to you by DX Racer Chairs.
They sound so cool.
I guess now they're paid for.
Just like my butt stick.
Pay $450.
Or maybe it's DXR Acer.
Yeah. Or DXRA Sir.
Sir.
It's too much for a chair.
We can keep it going.
Aren't our like regular office chairs more expensive?
Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah, but I guess. But those are, you know.
But I switched to this chair because it's more comfortable.
They're great chairs. Feel good about your posture.
I like it.
I just like them because they're the chair that I sat in when I...
Shut your goddamn mouth. Don't finish that sentence.
It's like a chair. It's like a butt stick that
I sprayed you.
You can actually sit on. It's
these
like a butt
chairs,
stick for sitting and has wheels.
These chairs were from the stage, the PAX Arena Overwatch stage.
Yeah, where Kiko exerted his dominance.
My back isn't broad enough, Josh.
I beat Dave. Dave's team.
He couldn't carry the whole team is what
he's
saying.
That's Dave, not Dave. He never beat me.
Dave couldn't carry the whole team, but I could carry my whole team.
I mean, come on. The whole team wasn't relying only on you. I'm not saying you were the problem. Somebody else was the problem. We won't say who, but somebody else was the problem.
It's all right.
Shade.
But I don't blame you,
Shade.
Dave.
Subtle.
I don't blame you.
Announcer said nice things about me.
It's getting pretty dark in a certain area.
Announcer said nice things about most of the people. Most of them. That's all I'm going to say.
Anyway.
I won.
It's true. You did. Anyway, we're actually talking about...
on Thursday.
A movie.
On Thursday, the Pan Arcade design team is going to Tokyo, Japan.
Sorry,
3 days.
I'm sorry that you're not a part of this.
What about me?
I don't want to go there.
I'm not a part either. You're not sorry for me? Well, I like Japan.
Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I don't know if you're participating or if you're like facilitating. Like, did you watch the movie too?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why
I'm always participating.
Oh, okay. Well, because sometimes
the only time I'm not participating is
when
I have a different turn. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We're doing multiple things. Yeah.
Okay.
Even then, I still
Well, then also sorry, Josh, that you're not.
Sorry, you're not going to Japan.
Maybe I'm not sorry that you're not going. I'm only sorry that David's not going.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
We're doing a whirlwind tour of the various shopping districts to get inspiration for clothing and design. And it'll be crazy and awesome. And with that...
I've never been. You guys have all been, right?
Yeah, it's Gabriel's first time.
No, I've not been. Yeah.
Dave's first time. This will be my third trip.
This is my second.
But the topic for this podcast, we were all supposed to watch... Lost in Translation in preparation.
Yeah, this is a new thing that we're going to be doing regularly since people commented and said they liked when we did the movie reviews, but they didn't like that they were all new movies that they hadn't watched before.
Yeah.
So now we're going to start doing, you know, other movies that have been out.
When did this movie come out?
2003.
Yeah, 2003.
You've had some time.
Spoilers.
It's also, there's nothing to spoil because nothing happens in the movie.
You're so right.
It's Seinfeld, the movie.
It's not.
The movie is Lost in Translation.
No baselines.
So I've seen it before. I know Gavin's seen it before.
Yeah, Robert has it as like required viewing for trips to Japan in the past.
It is it's something he always watches. It's a good primer. It's some of the stuff's a little outdated, but general idea.
David, have you seen
it? I had seen it before.
Josh, so have you seen it before?
Yes.
I'm the only one who hadn't.
Yeah.
So how would you describe the film?
Harajuku. Me?
Yeah.
As a first time viewer.
Well, should we talk about what happens and then how I felt?
Well,
we can assume they watched the movie, I guess.
Yeah, we still need to talk about. Okay. I mean, people may have not have seen it for a while.
Does someone want to wrap it up or kind of simplify what happens really?
Scarlett Johansson's in panties, and Bill Murray's also in it, and he's cool. The end.
It does open with a really egregious, just butt shot.
Yeah.
I did not remember that.
I did not remember that.
And it just... Huh. And that's so, because I'd seen it before, I watched it while playing Minecraft.
It's like basic instinct.
And I kept looking up and being like, it's still this shot.
Yeah.
It's still this shot.
So...
I don't know what that was trying to convey about the movie. Like, what
you're going to see most of the time. Scarlett Johansson's panties.
So, roughly 75 to 80% of the movie. This is a 17-year-old, you said?
Yes.
17-year-old Scarlett Johansson in panties and a
tank top. Uncomfortable. I'm not a big ScarJo fan, but I will say I'm coming around on her after they finally made her character cool in the latest.
Question. I've heard people say ScoJo, but ScarJo is more correct.
Who said ScoJo?
I don't know.
Wrong.
I think because it rolls off, right?
I've never heard that.
No, I've never heard that ever in my life.
Maybe I've never heard either.
I think
of these
I made
things.
It up in my brain. Anyway, so they, by the voices, have been telling me ScoJo is a thing, but it's not. So ScarJo is pretty better, I guess. Keep talking.
Okay.
She seems pretty cool, though.
Can we just use her real name?
So Bill Murray is in the film. He is presumably a well-known actor. Like he's been in different films. And so he goes to Japan to film a commercial and I'm pretty sure this is a real thing, where actors will go to Japan and film commercials and be paid exorbitant amounts of money.
It used to be that in the United States, actors were not in commercials.
Yeah.
That has changed now.
Yeah.
But back then...
So the idea was he was in Japan to film a commercial for like a whiskey commercial for $2 million. And he is a very sad man who is having problems with his wife, which is not his first wife. He's got a kid whose birthday he forgot, but you don't see any of them. It's only ever shot from his perspective in Japan. And then Scarlett is there because she just married Giovanni Ribisi, and he is a music photographer. He photographs bands, and he's there on business. And she's just like, I don't know who
freshly
I married.
Freshly out of college.
I don't know this dude. I don't have a job or a purpose in life. Yeah, she went to school for philosophy.
In short, it is a tour of Japan or a tour of Tokyo where your tour guides are two
sad,
depressed insomniacs.
Yeah, neither of them can sleep.
And
they just live in this hotel together.
They bond over the fact that they can't sleep.
Yeah. And I think they catch each other's eye because it's like they are the only two white people.
Yeah.
Like you sort of identify Westerners when you're there, when you see like, oh, hey, you look like me.
Yeah.
We stick out like sore thumbs.
Yeah.
And they were both making fun of the redhead singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The worst.
Who then Bill Murray has sex with.
Spoilers.
Which was kind of gross.
Super gross.
It was unexpected. But what's really funny about the film, I think, is how Bill Murray like hangs out with like her like kid friends. Like not kid children, but like...
He is clearly going through a midlife crisis.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's what the movie's about, essentially.
Yeah.
And how that relates to this young, very young girl.
Yeah. Make it Suntory time.
Yeah. do we want to get to the emotional cruxes of the film and then talk about that? Or what?
We've given the synopsis now. What's your take? Give me your hot take.
My hot take of this film was, this has been hyped to me for years by many people.
Really?
Yes. Everyone was like, you should really watch that. And then Robert was like, you need to watch it before you go to Japan. So this whole push was helpful because I did watch it. I didn't have a great time.
The movie's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, the movie's a bummer where shit doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
And I wanted more things to happen, I think. And I was waiting for these intense moments of resolution.
There's no payoff.
And there's no payoff.
Because that would be gross.
Yeah.
That's not.
That depends on what you want as the payoff.
Well, she's not.
That is not the payoff I was hoping for.
She's not necessarily 17 in the.
She's not supposed to be 17 in the film.
Right.
She's supposed to be playing
maybe
like 20s.
She could be.
Out of college.
There's no way she graduated college early. You know? She'd have a job if she graduated college at 17 as some fucking whiz kid.
Yeah.
She wouldn't be married if
unless she's taking philosophy. What are you going
to
do with that?
We're going to assume that she's had like 4 years of college to get a philosophy degree.
It was cool seeing Japan. Genius. And made me kind of mentally prepare for that. But you just saw this hotel a whole lot.
It was interesting how few sets they used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was sort of that late 90s depiction of Japan, though, where what was that Michael Douglas movie? Something, Black Rain?
I don't remember what it's called.
But you know what I'm talking about.
I think so, yeah.
So everything, super dark.
Mm-hmm.
The entire, just the way it was shot and all the lighting, was everything was, you know, twilight. There's not a lot of light. Well, everything, or even during the day.
Well, that added to the mood, though, that like they were sort of in this permanent sense of twilight because they couldn't sleep.
Even they went out during the day, it was cloudy and rainy and miserable. And that it's not, that's not... That's not Japan.
That's not indicative of the actual experience.
Yes. It is a very bright city.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. It actually bummed me out. I was like, my first exposure to Tokyo was like Akira.
That's Neo Tokyo?
Which is like, I know, and it's not true to Tokyo, but like I expected.
No, it was an accurate depiction of Neo Tokyo.
I know, I agree, but I'm saying that it was like lights all over the place. And then the very first scene when he gets there to Tokyo or whatever, you're like, oh, all these lights, but then you never really see all those lights again.
What's funny is that reminded me of my first experience when I first visited, because we came in on the evening and we were super tired because it was the first time we really took an international flight.
Mm.
So I'm completely emotionally exhausted from this flight, and we got in super late. But as soon as you drive in, as soon as you see all of the lights, that was my experience.
All of the lights.
The first opening shot of that movie is exactly
the
experience that I had.
I expected that for the rest of the movie, and they don't really go back to that.
It doesn't.
I expected neon Tokyo.
I think that you were given you were sold a false bill of goods.
Actually, if you're going to Japan, don't watch Lost in Translation.
Someone said to me once, and I'm not going to reveal who, if you watch this movie, you will understand me as a person. And I was like, who am I trying to understand here?
Because that's a very bizarre thing.
I don't feel like there's any admirable
quality. Was someone trying to tell you that they like needed you to come over? Like, Dave, I need you to. I can't be alone right now. Did you? When I was watching it, this is like obviously my second watch, and so the first time I watched it was 2013. So there's a lot of time in between to sort of like forget and re-experience. But the first shot of him in the elevator, I could only think of you, Dabe.
Yeah.
Like, did you
explain
see
the shot?
That? So it's a shot of Bill Murray's in the elevator. He's the only white man in the elevator, and he's a tall person.
The elevator's full.
And he is a full head and shoulders above every other person in the elevator, and all I could do is think of, that's going to be your experience.
No, I'm excited about that.
No, that is exactly what's going to be.
That was accurate.
You were going to tower over every human being there.
I'm excited about that. I really liked the director of the commercial.
Yeah.
Intensity.
He was probably my favorite character.
That whole section was definitely the funniest part of the film.
They're
ranting to one another, and he's like, I feel like he said a little more than just look at the camera.
So the scene is Bill Murray in this commercial trying to deliver a single line, and this director is very intense, speaking in Japanese.
And clearly angry.
And clearly angry and annoyed, and he's speaking for a very long time, and after a tirade, the translator goes to Bill Murray and says, more intensity. And Bill Murray is getting more annoyed because he knows that that's not what he said. And this whole scene goes back and forth for a good 4 or 5 minutes, and it gets more and more uncomfortable.
For a good time, make it Santori time.
Cut to.
Yeah, it was bizarre. There's also, you can also see the age of the film based on like some of the comments that Bill Murray and Scarlett make about like people in Japan that just seem a little bit offensive with a modern eye.
Definitely some offensive stuff
like
in there.
The whole movie struck me as being very racially insensitive.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like,
every Japanese character is
talked about cutting off her toe.
A joke.
Yeah, there was a lot of really uncomfortable stuff about just implications about what Japanese culture is like by them as outsiders. That was really weird. But they, I don't know. I really liked the movie, but I also knew what I was getting into with it. I knew that it was not the feel good movie of the summer.
I didn't expect a feel good movie. I expected shit to happen though.
Yeah. I don't know. I like that it is this sort of this bubble, because it just feels like you're stuck, just like the characters are stuck. And like they're not necessarily stuck. They're stuck in this place, but it's more that they're stuck in this like emotional space of not knowing like what's happening next in her life for Scarlett, and Bill Murray like not knowing what's happening with his marriage and with his like family.
Newly separated.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it does a really good job of making you feel isolated in this environment where, you know, they're two Americans in this country as people who don't like read or speak any of the language, mm-hmm. which is my experience with Japan, but I didn't feel isolated like they are depicted as being. But I think that, I don't know, I think that it does a really interesting job of that. And I didn't think about this the first time I saw it, but at the end, all of the credits are an entirely Japanese team.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that that was interesting, especially with like the like cultural insensitivity and stuff in the film, that like it seems like they hired their entire team over there. I don't know. Was the whole movie a Japanese production, or did it have like a Western like director?
Sofia Coppola. It's one of her first films. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the other reason why it was critically acclaimed is her name's attached to it.
Yeah.
But yeah. She obviously really likes Tokyo.
It bothered me that Scarlett Johansson didn't leave her dumb apartment window.
She was miserable.
Yeah,
she had nothing there.
Yeah, but go look around. There seems to be a lot to kind of distract yourself with.
She went to Kyoto.
I don't know. It's hard. Like, if you are depressed, it's hard to go out and, like, try
just
and experience
everything.
Just go outside.
You'll feel so much better.
Yeah,
just
all these
read
people
a book.
That are having a good time, you're like, I feel miserable. And I don't understand anyone, and I feel even more miserable.
Yeah, and she's alone.
She could have played Dance Dance Revolution with those kids.
She is completely alone.
She's done Taiko Drum Master.
Drum Master, Guitar game. Freaks, Pop and Music. I named it all as soon as it happened. I really like Beat 'em Money games.
ScarJo goes to an arcade.
ScarJo
she does.
Balls
she does.
Out with some.
And it, you know what? It games. Reminded me that you can smoke in
everywhere.
Arcades.
Yeah.
And
everywhere.
Then I got upset about that.
Your lung is going to be stoked.
Yeah. The one arcade that we were at last time did not have smoking.
It seemed like they pointed that out like right away in the movie, because they would show shots when they were in the bar of everybody, like showing people smoking, like they were showing that everybody smokes here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like they were pointing that out. It looked like it to me.
Yeah, me too.
Which is interesting, especially back then. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Did they show them at the party smoking weed though? Did they mention drug use?
Because
I know
it.
That like drug use in Japan is like you will go to jail.
But I don't think they showed it super closely.
They spoke about it for sure.
Yeah, I don't know because I feel like that's something that isn't like it's you go to a party with a random person and do that just because the consequences are more strict, I guess.
Hmm.
I don't know.
That part with I forgot all about the part where the guy with the BB gun.
The airsoft gun?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know really
what
weird.
The shit was happening right
I
there.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I didn't remember that at all. And I don't, like, I know that, like, there are no guns in Japan. Like, yeah. They have no gun crime.
I mean,
but that was so bizarre. I mean, obviously, it's not a a gun in the
traditional
sense.
I immediately got worried.
Sense. You will,
like,
get chased.
Is this taking a
It'll happen turn? Every day.
And then I realized, there's no gun crime.
I've got
that's
scars.
Just a toy, and they're okay with that.
I've got scars, Dave.
No one's going to tackle
you
anybody.
Still have plastic pellets embedded
yeah, they're
in,
to they're
this
in my body. Some of them are metal. I can't even go through an x-ray machine without setting it off.
Weird.
I wonder if that is a thing. I wonder if somewhere shop owners in Japan have pellet guns. That was bizarre.
I would assume they would have something.
Airsoft
maybe.
Guns.
Airsoft guns are big
soft.
There.
Some guys, yeah.
It's because they're not allowed to have guns.
Sure.
So everyone has these toy guns.
Okay.
And it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
No one will shoot you.
I mean, you can get hurt with an airsoft rifle, depending on the fucking PSI.
You'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah.
Okay.
You. Sorry. It wasn't targeted, then it was. Dave, how do you feel as a depressed man?
I loved it. As a sad, tall man.
Movie of the year every year since it came out.
Did it reflect your experience as an adult male living in the world?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Surrounded by people I can't communicate with.
Standing in the elevator with all of us.
Yeah, looking down.
Looking literally. Down. Literally and figuratively. Everyone is beneath you.
Sup, Dave.
That's true.
Yeah. We hang out. Up
just
here.
Figuratively.
We breathe together. It's really great.
You breathe the same air.
Also, if you're really into Scarlett Johansson mumbling, this is the film for you.
I watch everything with subtitles.
Me too.
It's the way that I consume
too.
All media. I like
mumbling?
It.
There's too much subtle nonsense.
Yeah, she never raises her voice in that movie.
Hmm. I didn't have any problem hearing.
Well, anything. I mean, she's depressed and
she was delivering the titular line. Can you say that again?
What is her titular line?
Can you say that again, Bill Murray? That was lost in translation, and then that sound plays.
Yeah. Flan.
Yeah, exactly.
Classic.
That trombone. So I went on the internet after watching this movie, like I do, and I
because you were
I
mad
typed
about
it. I wanted to enjoy it more. And usually when I go online,
why the
I,
fuck do people like
and when I read about something, people will talk about theories and things that I probably didn't notice. So like The Witch became slightly better for me when I started reading about like what the things meant or anything. But I also felt better because a lot of the internet was like, this wasn't that great. When I typed Lost in Translation, it tried to auto-populate to whisper because everyone on the internet is really mad that they can't hear what is being whispered. And people have tried to like crank up the volume and like
subtitles.
No.
When he whispers in her ear.
There's no subtitles for that. It says whispering indistinctly.
Yes.
That's what he said. He said whisper indistinctly.
It's super funny what people get hung up about.
Yeah, people got.
Because you're not supposed to know. And there probably isn't even any lines for that.
I don't understand.
Yeah, and I like that.
Like he was like, hey, this is really great.
This is really sad.
You look great. It's a great day.
Your hair's looking great today.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And
fantastic.
A nod.
Who did your makeup today? Was it Carol? She did
so
a fantastic job.
I learned that kiss at that scene where they hug was actually improv by Bill Murray. He just went for it because he felt strong about it. And then they kept it. So that was not originally written in, apparently. Yeah. And so also, there's a really interesting thing that takes place in the end that people are saying was either a continuity error because there's a bunch in that movie, or it was done completely on purpose, but the director has never revealed. But in the last scene, when they're in the elevator together, when they do kind of an awkward like side kiss,
those kisses were so weird.
Yeah,
they were so awkward.
He is wearing his jacket
that she has.
The next morning, she calls saying you left your jacket at the place, and all
is
you see
the
is
the same
like,
jacket though. He has multiple jackets, right?
I'm pretty sure
he's same. Wearing a jacket when he left too, and then she gave him another jacket.
Well, what I'm insinuating is. After that elevator scene, they just had a night that you didn't see anything of.
Mm-hmm. No, I refuse.
And not possible. A lot of people refuse.
Yeah.
But the whole jacket thing that he gets at the bed, I mean, means that there's something that potentially happened if you paid attention. But a lot of people say there's a lot of continuity.
No.
Incorrect.
Right. Well, if
I think
you
it's too
believe,
weird the next morning for that to have happened.
Kind yeah, of after he slept with the singer, no.
I don't think he would run back to her and give her that kiss in such like a weird, nonplussed way.
Yeah.
If he had just like had intercourse with her in a sexual manner.
What
the
if
night
they
before.
Just had outer course?
I guess that's true. Yeah. He could have had outer course.
Yeah. A lot of people don't think
intracourse.
About it.
I don't really know what that implies.
Yeah, I'm trying to get words. Ether.
It's like your neurons interact with my neurons. Yes.
What do you think about the movie, Josh?
I like it. I liked it less this time.
It
was too depressing this time for some reason.
It's like, not a movie that you see.
Feel bad
twice.
Now.
You don't need repeat.
I
feelings.
Like watching depressing movies.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I only like intense
I
movies.
I don't. It doesn't bother me at all. Is depressing to watch. It's like, I'm not in a good mood now. I need to do something else.
I don't think it depressed me.
You should have mined while you watched it.
Yeah, you could have mined.
You just wanted something to happen.
I just wanted more things to happen. I was just waiting
I
for,
like it when
I, waited, I was waiting for the delivery that people promised me, I think. That yeah. they.
I wasn't sold on the film beforehand. I didn't have anybody telling me that I was going to love it, hate it, anything like that. I
it's
just
Bill
went
Murray's
into it raw.
Best movie, people were saying, and all this.
That's bizarre.
I don't think that's true.
He's in a lot of bad movies.
He's in a lot of great movies, though, too. Like Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah. Every Wes Anderson
Come on.
Movie.
Yeah,
every Wes Anderson movie is
Any
his
of
best
those
movie.
Should be his best movies.
Space Jam.
Or even the weird part he played in that zombie movie.
Oh,
yeah.
That was great.
Yeah,
so
is that Zombieland?
Funny.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was really
weird.
Great. Really great.
So out of left field.
It was so good.
I mean, we were just talking, Dave and I just spoke to Chris before we came over here to do the podcast, and he said that that movie was a classic example of like terrible marketing that apparently, I didn't know this because I obviously didn't see it when it had come out, but he said that it was being marketed as Bill Murray's funniest movie ever. that's how they were pitching that film, and that's like, obviously, it's not a comedy. That's such an absurd thing to say.
I honestly don't remember it being
marketed. I think it's a black
marketed.
Comedy.
I don't remember that movie being marketed.
I wouldn't even say it's a black comedy.
I mean, it's, but you know, those situations are supposed to be funny.
Sure, no,
I think
I think it's humorous, but I think that it's not a funny movie.
No, it's not a comedy.
Yeah, it's not even like Bill Murray being funny. I felt like it was just Bill Murray being Bill Murray. Like it felt very true to him to the point that I wondered like how many of his lines were ad-libbed.
At the very least, it's not unlike the characters that Bill Murray has played.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Bill Murray.
Yeah, he does.
Most of the time.
It's Most fun. Actors play themselves nowadays.
Yeah.
No. Brad Pitt does not play Brad Pitt.
That's true.
Brad Pitt plays a million different parts.
Yeah.
Watch 12 Monkeys.
No.
He's
and
crazy
watch,
in that movie.
And then watch Snatch.
That's going to be the next movie we're going to watch.
That movie's 20 years old.
That
Everybody's seen that movie.
But we should watch it again because it's awesome.
We need to watch something that not everybody's seen next time. I'm picking the movie next time.
I never saw Royal Tenenbaums.
Wait, is the point to spoil movies for people?
No. He means that not all of us.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a new movie. It's just
seen.
Not we haven't all seen
that
so
listening.
We can have a fresh experience.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
We could take suggestions from people if they want to write in.
We could. But that'll be
movie,
that'll
But
take
we'd,
too long,
we'd also
maybe.
Have to be like, hey, has everyone seen this? Oh, never mind.
Yeah. That's.
Because
yeah.
The new view is helpful.
Although it's not super hard. I can find lots of movies that I haven't or anybody else hasn't seen because they're just weird movies. Just look at the foreign film list.
Yep.
Most people haven't seen those.
I watch a ton of... I don't think I watch I don't have the normal like Netflix experience. I like refuse to watch comedies. And I like comedies.
I hardly ever watch comedies.
But I feel like whenever I sit down to watch something, that feels like a very... it feels like a luxury. To just sit and only watch a movie. And so I feel like, okay, if I'm going to dedicate like 2 hours of my life to just doing this one thing, I'm going to make sure that it's something that I'm going to like learn from or feel impacted by in some way.
It's
going to
benefit you.
Right. So I watch a lot of documentaries and I watch a lot of just like really, really intense, like sad stories or, you know, just
like It's a Beautiful Life.
Not even like that. Like, life. I don't know.
I don't think I've seen that one.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, is that
the Italian?
Oh, yeah. I never got to watch that. I started watching that with somebody. And they're like, oh, I can't watch this. It's too depressing. Mm. I'm like,
yeah.
What?
See, why? I like that.
I want to spread in this goddamn movie. I want to watch this.
I want to cry.
I guess that's what we're watching next.
I want to cry while
that
I'm
movie's
going to
fuck you all up.
Is it on a streaming service?
I got to find it.
Yeah. Can I watch it on Brian's Netflix?
Does that have Philip Seymour Hoffman? Or is that a
no,
movie?
No. This is...
It says, like, what's the movie I'm thinking about where all he does is cry the whole movie?
Is that every Philip Seymour Hoffman?
No.
I think it's called Happiness or something.
Oh.
Anyway.
I haven't seen it.
Who's in this movie?
Some Italian guy.
It's Italian like, guy.
If you saw the Oscars, he like ran across all
he's
the seats or something. Like he's
this
acting all
little Italian guy.
Got super excited about movie? It. It's like nobody. No, it's,
yeah,
it's pretty old.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, he's nobody to Americans, I guess. Right. He's pretty popular in Italy.
Okay.
But yeah, so nobody that you would know.
Mm, great.
It was a foreign film that got really high accolades
gotcha.
And stuff.
Because it was really good.
And about Hitler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hitler movies do well.
This movie is pretty much a foreign film.
Yeah.
I needed those subtitles.
You needed the subtitles because of all of the mumbling.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
It's not like they translated any of the Japanese.
I also needed the subtitles for Snatch.
What? No way. I didn't watch that with any subtitles.
Then you missed half the movie.
No. It's perfectly easy to understand. I can understand that language.
Yeah.
Wow.
English?
That non-English. Yeah,
English?
That sort of English.
It was like pidgin, I guess.
Mm. Yeah.
Worked for me. I got it.
I love
it. Got the gist. But yeah, his tattoo's in that movie. Sweet.
I fucking love Snatch. Snatch was what made me a Brad Pitt fan.
I was bummed that the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels is not on Netflix.
No, I actually own it on DVD. I own like five movies, and one of them is Snatch, and one of them is Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, because like those are two of my favorite movies. Like,
they're
big Guy Ritchie fan.
I think I have Snatch, but I'm not sure I have Lock, Stock.
But I've owned them since like high school.
Yeah.
I
probably have Lock, Stock somewhere.
DVDs.
Yeah.
Has everyone here seen Brick? Has anyone here seen Brick?
Nope.
I don't remember.
That's I can't remember.
One. That's a JGL specialty, I think. I don't know. We'll
JGL.
Remember. Maybe.
Who's
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Is this the film where he masturbates the whole time? Or
I don't think so.
What? That sounds gross. I don't want to watch that.
I think I might have seen it, but I don't remember.
What film is
that? I watch a lot of movies that I don't remember.
He has a porn addiction.
Yeah, you're thinking
I didn't
of the
see
Scarlett
that
Johansson movie.
I knew that film wasn't for me. I did not watch that film.
Anyway. All right. Good to know.
All right.
For future.
Anything else?
Does anybody have anything to say, Dave?
No. Do we recommend Lost in Translation?
I do.
Yeah, I would.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's
a good
movie.
You have to be in the mood for a quiet movie.
Quiet,
certainly.
Slow, like
bummer.
Thought-provoking movie. It's not going to be a big payoff.
Maybe watch it with a friend, or maybe let someone know you're watching it.
Drink some whiskey.
Yeah, you could drink some whiskey while you watch it and have that Bill Murray
get some Suntory, and then every time he says it, take a drink.
Yeah.
Make it a drinking game.
Suntory time.
Yeah.
Is that an actual whiskey?
I would assume
so. Sure.
Suntory is like a Coke. It's a beverage.
Oh, really? I had no idea. I thought they made it up.
Yeah, okay. No.
Incredible.
We'll follow up this podcast with a post-Tokyo, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But there are better movies to watch, I think, that if you want to go to...
Oh, for sure.
If you want to go to Japan,
this
than
is
that.
Just a, this is a Robert thing. This isn't a Japan thing. This
but
is
it,
a,
no, it's on lists.
Oh, really?
Every list, it's like, if you're going to go to Japan, watch this movie.
What's a better movie for Japan that you guys think?
You've Got Mail.
I was looking at the list, and there's one that sounded perfect, but...
The
Jiro Sushi documentary one.
Game of the Year.
Yeah, that one's good.
That one's really good.
Yeah.
Which
movie
one?
Makes me hungry.
The Jiro Sushi one?
You
see that?
Oh, yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
It's really good.
That's good.
It's
except we won't eat anything
more
like,
you know, you get to see more actual Japanese people.
It's more
doing
of a depiction
stuff.
Of that culture.
Yeah, yeah.
This was a Western film. This was not.
I mean, it shows, you know, this film shows cool parts of Tokyo and all the arcades and stuff, but I don't think that's enough. To give you an idea of Japan, necessarily.
It's also Japan of 2003.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a long
it's
time
pretty
ago.
Old. Well, not even 2003, probably like 2001 or 1999, since it takes a while.
Since it was filmed. Yeah. That's true.
That's interesting to think about.
All right. If you guys have any questions or topics or movies you'd like us to discuss, please email podcast@penny-rk.com. And wish everyone well on their Tokyo trip.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah, bye.
No earthquakes. We had a 5.6 today.
Okay,
maybe they'll come back.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye.